I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Coming up, actor Nathan Sutton on his first film as writer and director. He also stars in Autumn Wanderer, along with his wife, Alicia Scorman, who also joins us. And in our last soundbite segment of the year, in partnership with Sauce Magazine, we look back at the best of the year in food and drink. From Sauce, executive editor LaGaia Figueres joins us, along with two of the magazine's restaurant critics. Michael Renner writes the New and Notable Restaurant Review. Matt Berkeley writes the Nightlife Review, and they all join us now. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Good to see you here at the end of 2013.
Yep, super excited.
LaGaia, I've enjoyed our monthly visits this past year. You know, we've examined exciting new trends, new businesses. You've introduced us to a lot of interesting people, chefs and other people in the business. So how tasty was 2013 for you?
I think I might be a few pounds heavier. It's been a really, really fun year across the board in restaurants as well as bars. We've seen some pretty neat concepts. We had some fantastic people come to St. Louis from outside of the community. Overall, I would rank it super high, and I think that 2014 is going to be even better.
I did want to ask you, I've never thought of you as ever having a weight problem, which I find amazing.
I've learned how to taste. I do not eat anymore. Usually my mantra is three bites and I'm out.
Oh, I don't know how you do it. Michael and Matt, you're both reviewers. I've always thought that a restaurant, a reviewer, or a bar reviewer had a pretty sweet gig. Is it as much fun as I imagine, Matt?
Yeah, I would say absolutely. I could safely say this is something I would do for free. I don't want to tell you that.
I'll pass it on to our publisher.
I grew up with a family who always loved food. I went to New Orleans during my undergrad, so I was always... I had my nose in it, loved menus, picking them apart, and this is a fantastic gig. It's sometimes not as great. Everybody's always hounding you for your favorite picks from the family, and
I'd be afraid to have you guys over for dinner.
Well, you know, there's a big difference between when you're being a professional out reviewing, and just the friends tell me the same thing. I said, no, I would never do that. And yeah, it is a great gig. I get absolutely no sympathy though from people when I say, you know, oh, I have to go review another restaurant tonight. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're doing it over and over, yeah, it can be kind of a grind, and sometimes you just don't want to go out and eat. But
I don't relate to that.
It's a great gig.
I don't know what you're talking about. But just a quick question about your philosophy, because I imagine you could nitpick if you want. If you went to a restaurant and find things to criticize. But in another way, I feel like you try to be positive, because I think you want to be if you can be. So I don't know, what's your philosophy when it comes to being hard on a place or not?
So my philosophy is I'm going in and I'm looking at the overall experience. So I take everything in, from service to food to quality to ambiance to everything. And in my experience, I've been doing this for many, many years now. There's very few places that you need to trash when you review it. That's just very few. But every restaurant has something that they can improve upon. And then the trick is, how do you convey that to a reader and offer that constructive criticism to a restaurant? Because really, that's what they want. My philosophy is I'm open-minded. I'm pretty flexible. When I see some serious flaws, I point them out.
And also, I mean, I've had, you know, the opportunity to in writing features and write all kinds of stories. You're able to talk to restaurant owners, and the first thing they'll tell you is, you know, we're going to have bad nights. We're going to have nights where, you know, the front of the house is slammed and we just can't. And so it's hard. You can't just have that one experience. So I like to give them a second chance, always give them a benefit of the doubt, and find a dish or a drink that you think kind of almost personifies the place.
That's Matt Berkeley. Michael Renner is also here, critics for Sauce Magazine. LaGaia Figueres is their executive editor. And, well, LaGaia, let me ask you this. What about the role of reviewers? I personally don't believe any of the reviews regular people write, like on Yelp. I pay no attention to that.
Okay.
I mean, I,
But there
people
are
can be making
that,
stuff up.
There are people that do, and on the flip side,
they could be the owner's cousin, and
it can be pretty much anyone. I think that is one thing that definitely sets a publication like ours or others that do real restaurant reviews is there is a high level of professionalism that goes into everything that Matt and Michael are giving to the public. I mean, it starts with, you know, they follow food critic guidelines. And so things are very specific. Obviously, they have to be fair and honest and objective. But there are real ethics that they follow. In our case, they are anonymous. There are some publications now in which the reviewer's identity is being made known. And our attempt is just that they're going to have the exact same experience that right. anyone, you know, any diner walking in there would have.
All right. Let's look at the year. Let's look back at 2013.
Yeah.
Which restaurants or bars that opened this year have really new concepts or interesting concepts that grabbed your attention? Who wants to start?
Michael. So I think for this year, I under my "this ain't no food court" category would be the Central Food Hall that opened up in the Central West End.
Right on Euclid, there, right?
Exactly.
Forest Park Parkway.
Right. So, and that's St. Louis's first foray and our first experience with sort of the National Food Hall experience. I mean, the place takes up a city block.
And we did a segment on that, didn't we?
We certainly did.
Yeah. I mean, and so it has a very broad gastro landscape. There's something there for everybody, but it's all done very well. So oysters to thick tentacles of Spanish octopus to wood-fired pizza to a double bone pork chop. So there's a lot going on there. So I thought that was really good. I still think in my coolest space category, I still think Elia and Olio right there on Tower Grove at the intersection of McCree are just is a splendid space.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Well, you have the bar and then you have a restaurant and they're connected, you know, by this hallway. That was on my list too for cool concepts. Two on mine are Cucina Pazzo. I love it because it's an Italian restaurant and there's not a single pizza or flatbread on the menu. And I think that's really fabulous. It's smart because actually there's a pie pizzeria is just pretty much across the street there. But that just opened up in the West End. And so neat to me. The other one, Element, I love the idea of four chefs in a kitchen collaborating. These are all guys who are pretty much at the top of their game. This is a new place that opened in the Old City Hospital really recently. Just in Lafayette Square, and it's called Element. So four chefs in a kitchen, and what can we do? Bring it together. There's unique aspects of each person coming to build a menu.
And that place was on my where I'd want to live category because it's such a cool masculine space. It's amber lighting, exposed brick, heavy woods, nice exposed I-beams. It's really cool.
Similar to that, another masculine, a lot of heavy sauces, heavy woods, heavy beers was Trippel for me. Is it Trippel or is it
Trippel?
Trippel.
Mm-hmm.
Trippel. And which is actually, I think it's our first Belgian restaurant that we really have in town. Mm-hmm. And it's very French, sort of French-German fusion kind of there on the crossroads. And I think it was the standout dish for me. They do mussels and they have about half dozen different variety, and my favorite, I think it was the mussels Normandy. It was cream and bacon sauce in there, and just absolutely fantastic. They have a roasted quail appetizer and with a little red cabbage, and just their beers are just absolutely outstanding. Mainly, they have a couple of locals, but mainly very strong Trappist ales, which are just, if you like lagers, there's kind of just more of an oomph. Not quite, you know, kind of watered down, just plain light selection, but just absolutely fantastic European style strong lagers.
Mm-hmm. So, is there a particular meal at any one place that you remember fondly?
So I didn't really go with meals. I went with some of the best dishes that really hit me. So,
right.
One fried butter garlic wings at My Linh, which is the new Vietnamese restaurant in Rock Hill.
Oh, I think that the me there is so good, too. Did you got the me?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. No, that's like, good, too. Yeah.
It's like a classic, really brothy soup. It's with noodles. It's outstanding,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but these chicken wings are the kind of wings that you wish you could just eat every night for the rest of your life. So they're breaded in rice flour and then and cornstarch, and they're deep fried, and then they're sautéed again in butter and red pepper flakes and garlic and diced green and white onions, and they're just real crispy, and your lips glisten with that oil, and your lips kind of burn with that subtle heat. They're really good.
Wow.
Yeah, they're great. I think we should have brought some.
One of the standouts for me, we talk about St. Louis style barbecue, was one of those that really doesn't get too much press is Hendrix out in St. Charles off of Main Street, and it's just kind of set off the side, I guess, the west side of the street. And it's just an absolutely beautiful space, but it's the same people who do Sanctuarium, Cafe Fontana, and it's just, I would say, their barbecued nachos, just this pulled pork that's on top of there, you just don't want to stop eating it. It's light, but you don't want to stop eating it. And their bar is absolutely fantastic. They have their own white whiskey moonshine type cocktails. They can make up whatever you want. I never know what I'm getting twice, but it's just they just can figure out. I was there with my fiance, and she said, "I don't like, I don't care for whiskey." And the bartender was like, "You shouldn't have said that to me." So he made her up this whiskey drink. She didn't even know it. It was just absolutely fantastic. And I haven't gotten back there enough. So Hendrix in St. Charles.
Have you guys had the fried chicken at Libertine?
The fried chicken at Libertine is good. Actually, my dish from Libertine that I thought was so good is Three Little Hens.
Oh, that was good.
That was really good. It's just like three different poultry that are layered together, and I can't even, I'm sure he sous vide something. It was all in all fantastic dish. But if I had to pick my single favorite, it is the goji steamed sole at Hero Asian Kitchen, and actually that's going to be inside the January issue beauty picture on this one. It is, so you have this filet of sole, and the whole dish is steamed because there's also vegetables there, but then he has this goji berry broth. It is divine, and you just want to slurp that sauce and then take it home and put rice on it. It's so good.
Before we go any further, let me ask you this. Is there any correlation between price and quality? You know where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Let's start with the tacos at Mission Taco Joint, because that was actually great dish. I really have no issue with a single taco that they have there. And what are they, between like $2.50 and $3.50?
Yeah.
And they do everything, is handmade there. So in that case, I think, that's pretty cheap. You can get something awesome.
And there they have lobster. They'll have lobster tacos for that price. Lobster tacos, soft shell crab tacos every now and then. It's just absolutely fantastic. They won't go over $5 a piece. So
yeah, I do think, though, that most of us as diners walk into a restaurant and we have this little voice in the back of our head that has that value to price equation constantly running in the background. I mean, I that happens to me. So when I see something that's $25, for instance, I have a different expectation than I would for something that's maybe $12. And if it's a super small serving, for instance, at $25, I mean, I understand what goes into it. I know the craft that goes into it. But then I wonder, how long can you sustain that? And we just saw that evidence by a little country gentleman who, I mean, they're closing in January. And he was doing great experimental stuff, but they just couldn't make money at it.
Yeah, I guess. And this economy, too, might be more challenging.
Right. Well, since we're on the topic of Little Country Gentlemen, can we move to top cocktails?
That was my next question.
Okay.
Top cocktails of 2013.
Okay. This really is my top favorite, hands down, is at Little Country Gentlemen. And I made sure to find out what's the last day that somebody can have this drink there. The best thing is if you're going to go tonight or Saturday night, because then it gets a little bit sporadic. They're open again New Year's Eve, and they close on the 11th, but there's all these dates they're not open. So if you want to try this drink, my favorite of the year, the Malls Cup number 3. So it's this bourbon-based Pimm's cup. The whole thing is handcrafted. It is beautiful. It's ingenious. If you know what a Pimm's cup is, the idea is, apart from the cocktail, it's highly garnished with fruit. So the guy, Mole, the bartender's name is Jeffrey Mole. He made his own Pimm's cup, and then he bottled it because he wanted to be able to execute the drink quickly, because he spent so much time preparing the garnish, and he serves it in this most beautiful goblet. So it's everything you want in a handcrafted cocktail. Try the Mole's Cup number 3 at Little Country Gentleman.
Matt, what about you?
I'm drinking a lot of whiskey right now, and it's a good time to
when
whiskey.
You say right now.
tonight, yes, but right now. It's a little early. But I tell you, it is a good time to be a whiskey fan in St. Louis right now. Mm-hmm. You got all kinds of options, and it's hard to pick what my favorite house. I'm a big Manhattan fan, and there are a couple of different places. The one that's standing out right now for me is that just kind of recently opened was Gamlin Whiskey House in the Central West End, and they have an just absolutely fantastic. They bring in all of their signature cocktails. They use a single barrel Knob Creek, and their House Manhattan is just knocks it out of the park. Another one that really stood out for me was the Fortune Teller Bar down on Cherokee, and the name of the drink, and it's similar to a Manhattan, but it has Calvados, which is actually more of an apple brandy. The name of the cocktail is a Rattlesnake King, so it's a little bit sweeter, but not too overwhelming. And also the other one, the big one that I think I wrote about this year was margarita, the Beatnik Margarita at Atomic Cowboy, which is actual beet juice in it, and it's just
beet juice.
Yeah, beets, like beet. Yep, beet. It is fantastic, and I don't even like beets. This thing is just out of this world.
Interesting.
They also do, yeah, they do a lot of juices. They also do a carrot margarita, too, which is excellent, but the beets are really the standout.
Sounds healthy, I guess.
Yep.
Anyway,
yep.
Michael.
So I'm a huge bourbon fan, too, but I just had the Mississippi Punch at Juniper.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, with dark rum, rye, citrus. I don't even know what's all in it, but it was delicious.
Any other drinks you want to mention before we move on?
Yeah, well, they were talking about whiskey places. It's been interesting seeing some fun House Manhattans. I think that Tom Waits for No Man at Libertine, it's a twist on a Manhattan, and it features a local 630 Rally Point rye. That one is stellar. And then Planter's House, newly opened on Shodo and Mississippi, their twist on a Manhattan is fabulous. That features a Rittenhouse bottled in bond rye. If you have
proof.
Whiskey,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you have whiskey drinkers listening,
what about exciting trends? We examined a lot of those over the last year at Lagayo. Mm-hmm. What either exciting trends or food-related events in just a minute or so that stick in your mind?
Well, you know, Matt talked about a lot. If you love whiskey, it's a great time. That's one happening right now. We've got Small Batch just opened, Gamlin Whiskey House, mm-hmm. Planner's House, and Blind Tiger at Sutton Place are all pretty much everything opened in like Q4, I think. So look for whiskey. It's pretty hot right now. Also, Third Wave Coffee Bars. We did a trends piece in our November issue. We did a tour on, you know, really what does it mean, you know, the bean origin and roasting and hand brewing methods. So there are about six places that we covered. And so you see some really coffee's just hitting its next level. And finally, I would actually say, thinking holistically, collaborations between, we see, you know, these pop-up one-time events where you've got two different vendors working together. Maybe they're, you know, doing an event, or we've got artisan food producers working with the beverage guys. And finally, all over town, it's a huge collective push, I think, among the community to keep St. Louis on the national radar. So I see this really real collegiality that's unparalleled and really refreshing.
All right, Matt, Michael, one final thing. Looking into your crystal ball. I know you're good at this, right? Any predictions for the new year? Do you expect any changes, any trend that we haven't seen yet that's going to hit St. Louis? Any thoughts?
So I don't know about a trend that's going to hit St. Louis, but there might be some trends that are going away. So, you know, I'm really getting tired of seeing a fried egg on everything. So I'm thinking maybe that might be rested.
I could also say sliders, no more sliders.
Yeah. Which you can get a fried egg on, by the way, too.
Exactly.
I'd love to see 2014 be a year that St. Louis brings home a James Beard Award.
Well, yeah.
Finally.
All right. That's Lagaya Figueres, executive editor of Sauce Magazine. January edition is on the newsstands now.
It should be.
It should be.
In the next days.
Okay, look for it. Matt Berkeley and Michael Renner have both joined us today, too. They are restaurant critics for Sauce Magazine. So we want to thank you for being here. Lagaya, we look forward to another year of doing this with you.
Likewise.
It's our soundbite segment. And I guess the last thing I have to say is Happy New Year and what? Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Absolutely.
Bottle of red, bottle of whites. Every kind of mood you're in tonight. Meet you anytime you want in our Italian restaurant.
Next on Cityscape, the filmmakers behind Autumn Wanderer. This is St. Louis Public Radio.